Welcome back, guys, to what used to be known as Douchebags Anonymous is now known as Daddy Knows Best. Who's daddy? I'm daddy, bitch. You know why I'm daddy? Because that's a douchey thing to call yourself, and the algorithm doesn't like the word douchebag, I'm learning. This week, we had Will Burkhart on, which was great. We talk about his rapid rise to success and the viral clips he's put out online. We also talk about his drug experience, and we talk about how he was bullied for being Jewish. Wasn't me, because I'm Jewish too, 30%, so I'm on the good side. Well, technically right now, I shouldn't say that, so... We talk about dating, how he's dating someone, not in a rush to move in, but serious girlfriend. He shares his perspective on happiness, meditation, spirituality. This week, I'm doing Don't Tell Oceanside. It'll be Wednesday the 15th. I'm doing Comedy Duo on Saturday. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe, because Daddy fucking said so. All right, bro. Thanks for doing the podcast.
Yeah, dude.
Got Will Burkhart here. One of my favorite things in your bio was hardest working young comics.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's weird that for me to say that, but that's for people to know my backstory, I guess. And I like to think I work pretty fucking
hard. It's not weird. I don't think, like, you know, if you work hard and, like, I like to consider myself a hard worker, it's not in my bio now because you kind of beat me to that. But it's probably one of the top ingredients of success, consistent hard work. It's like the most ingredient that's missing in most people's stuff.
Yeah.
Of course, you got to have like passion for it of some sort and built up the talent. Like are you like 8 or 9 years in?
Yeah, about 9.
Okay. Yeah, I thought so, man.
Yeah.
I actually was inspired by your clips to start posting my clips.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
We were in the park, like you, and then you just fucking, it seems like it's, but as I'm doing it, I see that it's like.
You just don't, it's what I've learned with the algorithm is it's completely out of your control.
Yeah.
You have no, to me, like there's no right, there's no like ingredient and perfect hashtag, perfect time. I think you just put out the highest quality content you have in a semi-consistent basis.
Yeah.
And just the chips are going to fall where they may.
Yeah.
If the shit's that good, it'll find people.
Yep.
If it's not,
then you learn.
Like you just keep learning and keep iterating and make it, I don't know, make it look good and make it funny. But it's like, I think the hard part is having good content to post.
Yeah.
That's the hard part.
Yeah. You know? And getting enough shows in the beginning to have that content.
Yeah. It's like, that's the hard part. And then being able to make it look good and sound good is like the next step, you know?
Dude.
I don't know. Basically what I was trying to say is that it's just so out of your control. It's just like.
Part of it.
It's just
what is in your control is doing the work, editing the videos, posting them.
Yep.
And being consistent. How consistent do you think you need to be?
With posting content, I don't have all the secrets. What I've done has worked for me. I was just a part of that crazy Instagram reel blow up thing that happened last year or whatever. There's like a handful of people who hit that wave and I was one of them.
Yeah.
Very grateful for it. I think people are like post every day, blah, blah, blah. I'm not an everyday guy. Like, no. I feel like people don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
If you said every day, you're like, okay, another stand-up clip, cool, who cares? Like I like a 2 a week, 3 a week type of thing just to like keep you in the zeitgeist, but not like overly, I don't know, I want to have like a little bit of demand.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. That's my approach.
I'm at 3 a week right now, and I just bumped it up, and I don't know. 2 a week was a more chill spot because I'm also like editing videos on the side for another comic. So it's
okay.
And I'm doing it on a 2016 MacBook Pro.
Wow.
So like I don't have the update. I'm about to get a new laptop, but right now I'm manually tracking myself and the comic. I'm also manually entering every subtitle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it takes me like 2 hours, sometimes 3 for like a intense one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still edit? You probably like don't edit your stuff.
Oh, right? I do everything still. Everything.
Yeah, fuck, man. Yeah, I was thinking, I can't wait to outsource this.
No, dude, I think I'm also kind of a control freak. Yeah. I think it's like I have it so dialed in to where I can get it done real quick. If I've only edited a clip, it's pretty quick.
Yeah.
And I just don't trust people very easily with that shit. Like, I feel like no one will do it perfectly. So unless I have just a crazy amount of bandwidth, then I may like help get some help, but I'm like, I have the time. Like I'm doing everything myself.
And no one cares about your career more than you.
Yeah,
do.
Totally. For sure. Yeah. Until I get to the point where I'm just like crazy busy.
Yeah.
Then maybe like, hey, caption this.
Yeah.
But there's still just a sense of like, I need some of the control and the editing and just the timing and the pacing and the, I don't know. It's too important to me.
Yeah, man. Know? I watch a lot of your stuff to figure out, cause like I'm learning that I'm leaving too much air in some of my videos. Whereas yours, like, you'll cut it like just after the peak of the laughter and there's still a lot of and it's like next one, boom, next one. And I think, do you think you have to do that for how social media is?
I think it's a balance.
Yeah.
I think I've seen people who cut too quick.
Yeah.
It's like, ha!
Yeah.
I'm like, I want to leave it in as much as I can while still keeping it snappy, TikTok-y, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's that balance. I don't know. I don't love the like crazy snappy editing. But
right.
Like, bah, 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 bah. I think it's fucking crazy. It's like, you're not even watching a stand-up show anymore.
Right. Yours isn't like that. I'm just saying like.
Oh, no. Even if it is, I'm still iterating. But I just, that's personally, I like a little bit of like, you're still, I want to give people the experience you're still watching a stand-up show.
Right.
As opposed to like, here's an internet joke thing. It's like, I just don't, that's like ruining the art form a little bit to me. I want to keep it a little bit just like, you're like, you're there watching the show.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll punch in on something, but that's like the most.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
dope, dude.
I don't know.
Figuring it out, bro. But dude, that's where I'm aiming to be is, over 100K, man. That's like one of my medium term goals. And like, cause I see you touring, you're selling out all over the nation. And I think that is what we work so hard to be doing. So how does it feel to be where you, I mean, of course there's always like, well, I want to be here now,
but
like,
that'll never stop.
But like, dude, there's gotta be such a sense of gratitude of how far you've come and how hard it like people don't get. They think that stand-up's a lot of luck, and I think it attracts a broken, lazy individual at some parts of it. Like, obviously, there's good people all with them, but there's some, like, broken people because they're also funny. But, like, the work ethic it takes to get to...
Yeah, it's a crazy... You have to be obsessed with, like, the whole process of it, the highs and the lows. Like, you have to just be ready for that. And in terms of, like, what it's felt like for me, it is... I think the first word that comes to mind is very surreal because especially at the beginning, I mean, for people who are listening, who don't really know like this, I'm in the midst of basically my first like headlining tour this year. Ever since I kind of like blew up for lack of a better term.
Yeah, yeah.
I think surreal is the main word just because it's so weird to be like living like your dream.
Yeah, dude.
You know what I mean? It's like, cause as comedians, you work so hard just to be able to like essentially just sell tickets and be able to headline a cool place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And for people to actually come out and know who you are. And that's like, it's just really crazy. And I'm still not used to it yet. And it's just pretty surreal and amazing, honestly. I mean, it's I don't know. I'm still wrapping my head around the process of it. I've told people and I've vocalized this that like this year I was basically going to be spent me learning how to be a headliner.
Yeah.
And that's not just how to do stand up. Cause like I know how to do stand up now. Like I can hold my own with pretty much anybody to an extent, you know? But now it's like a new job. It's like a new role. It's a new like promotion to where you have to now handle yourself in a specific way. You have to be super business oriented, good with travel, like booking everything. Mm. If you have someone to open for you, taking care of them. Making sure to like, you know, have enough for yourself too. It's like now you're like the boss and you have to like figure out how to be that, you know? And just handle it, talking to people after shows, merch. It's like there's so much that goes into it that I'm just still like in the learning phase. But it's really trippy to be like living the dream.
Yeah,
and,
dude.
And also, but also, it doesn't bring a happiness. It doesn't. There is a sense of fulfillment and like holy shit, this is amazing. But you're still you.
You're still grinding.
You're still grinding, and also like have anxieties, have stress. It's like I think this could be like a no shit thing. But it's like, it doesn't, all the success like doesn't bring the, it doesn't mean you're going to be happy.
Sure.
It just means that career wise, you're probably going to be, you know, you're not slumming it.
Sure.
You know, and you have some money now, which is cool.
Yeah.
But you still need to like work on like yourself and
of course.
In a good place with yourself along the way.
Yeah, man. You know? I think that's crucial with anything. And like happiness is a fleeting emotion that comes from within.
Yeah.
But I will argue that I am happiest when I'm working towards my purpose or what I've defined
sure.
as my purpose. And
oh yeah,
and this is it. And like, even though I'm exhausted and I will have bouts of sadness or whatever you want to call it, but like ultimately when I'm the least happiest is if I'm slacking on my purpose or slacking on my career.
I agree. Dude, totally, man. I love being just in the mix. Shit's going, shit's cooking. Like that's that makes me happy too.
So, yeah, bro.
For sure.
It's cool to see, man. You know, thanks, keep taking, man, the photos with all the fans and then it's reposting.
It's wild, dude. It's so crazy, dude. I'm just some guy, you know? And all of a sudden now people are like, oh my God, I drove 7 hours to see you. I'm like, really? That's crazy. People like I get recognized sometimes just on the street. That's cool, fucking crazy. Dude. It's just so weird. Like, I'm not used to it yet. I'm like, whoa, me? That's crazy.
That's cool, man.
So, I don't know.
Bev gang representing.
I wish that, fuck, man. I really wish that took off. I had so much confidence.
People were reposting. It just didn't get what you...
I had too grave an expectation. I should have just kept it going. I don't know. Again, if people are listening, I created this online movement called Beverage Gang, which means you always have multiple beverages at any given time, like at least like three. And people really resonated to it. But then I tried to do a little merch with it and no one cared. And then that, which is very justifiable, but then it made me not like it as much. I don't know. I should have kept it going.
I did notice you. Yeah. It's not on there as much anymore.
No. I fucked up, dude. I fucked up.
Dude, you got a different thing coming on. Do you have, so most of your clips are crowd work. Do you post a lot of your stand up bits at all, or you sneak those in sometimes?
Sneak them in. Cause I want people to know that I can actually write jokes. And especially the expectations of people going to shows. I don't want them to expect me to just like rip on people the whole time and just fuck around the whole time. Cause it's not that, like, bro, I don't even do that much crowd work in my act, you know? So,
and I mean, like, to the point of like Matt Rife, he says like, he can barely get his material out now. Like, he's...
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Just girls are just yelling out, trying to be a part of the TikTok viral
clips. That's crazy, man. That's crazy. Because I just still love just... It's like, it is still... Write jokes, make them laugh. It is still that. It's like, people forget that. But I'll sprinkle in some actual jokes or things that, like, I've... Like, I put out a joke recently that I've been messing around with for a few months. And I just... I like the joke. It's not like one of my favorites. And it also there was no place for it in my act.
Yeah.
And so then I'll like give it out. Then I'll be like, oh, I can just put this out. You know what I mean?
Oh, so if you put it out, you won't do that.
If it's something I'm actively doing in my like set, like my headlining set, I won't really put it out.
Yeah. I've done that. And I don't know if that's good or bad. Dude,
I don't know either. Honestly, I have spoken to people who have put something on, let's say like a recorded online set. And they still do it in their act, and people still get, it still gets laughs, and people are still even more excited to be like, oh, I love this joke, or oh, watch this joke, person next to me. So I think there is a level of that. I personally haven't really gotten there yet. I still want people to be surprised. Not to be. And I also am probably this, at some point, whenever the writer strike is over, we'll try to do some sort of, whether it's a late night or just Comedy Central set, stuff like that. That'll be the next thing.
Yep.
So I also want to, like, you know, once that, it's like, that's where some of the good jokes will live.
Yeah.
You know? And I may burn those. Maybe that'll just be it, you know?
Well, and you,
so I don't
like,
know.
Fahim just did the Tonight Show a couple months ago, and I saw some jokes from one of his first specials on Amazon.
Interesting.
And like, still works, still hits. So.
Yeah, for sure. Well, he's also a joke machine. Bro. That motherfucker's crazy. Crazy. I don't know, man. Some people are like, I'm like, how? How are you producing this much material? Well, granted, if you do it for almost 20 years,
he's almost at 20.
Yeah, he's doing it forever. So it's like, I mean, maybe not that long, but I think it's like, when you do it for that, you just get better.
Bro,
it's still like, whoa.
He's one of the best stand-ups I've seen live. Like,
he's like one of my absolute favorites.
Yeah.
Easily.
So good.
Easily. I watched him actually do, this is a funny thing. I went to the Comedy Store one night, this was years ago, and I'd been working on this joke. This is like, dude, I was like maybe 3 years in at this point, and I was working on this joke that I still think is a funny idea. It's about at an orgy and you're the guy who finishes first, like, what do you do? Like, where do you go? Do you just like slow? I do this in an act out where I like slowly just kind of leave. And it was like such a funny idea, but I was so new that I couldn't like execute it well.
Yeah.
And so I go to the Comedy Store one night to watch, which back in the day, you could just do that. You could just go to the Comedy Store and sit in the back because it wasn't sold out. Maybe now you can.
If there it's was, not sold out.
There was, but over the last like 3-4 years though, when it was just popping off, you can't just, you couldn't.
Right. If it's sold out, there's room.
But it was sold out every single night. So when I first moved to LA though, you can actually go and kick it in the back and watch like Sebastian, Burr, all these things just work shit out, which was insane. So inspiring. And so I watched Fahim one night and he literally did that exact joke, the orgy joke that I was working on. And obviously he never saw me do it.
Right.
But he did it like with perfection. Yeah. It was like someone took the idea out of my brain and put it like into like a brilliant comedic mind who's seasoned. And I just watched him do my joke, like how I dreamed of it being. It was so crazy. I was like, he did. And I was just alone. So I was like,
Never doing that again.
I'm never doing it again, which is fine. He did it. Like he cracked the code of that joke.
Yeah.
It was so crazy.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
Do you, for crowd work, how did you get so good? Is it more of just a practice thing? Or, I mean, obviously if you're funny, and you're witty, I think you can do crowd work, but there is like in the beginning, a huge intimidation factor for some reason, cause it's very high risk, high reward.
It's gambling.
Yeah. It's gambling. And the more you do it, I find the more you're better. But like, I wanted to hear your take. Like, how did you do anything to improve your crowd work? Do you watch crowd work clips? Do you, I can't remember. I think if you're one of the stand-ups that don't watch stand-up, there's people that just won't watch stand-up because they think it'll influence them.
I've become one of those.
Yeah.
I don't consume any stand-up. I don't look at anyone's social media. I am off kind of, I'm like, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
Basically. Especially even with friends. Like, you could have blown the fuck up. You and I would have zero idea. I'd be pumped, but I would have no idea. I do that purposely because I want to be. It's stand-up's hard enough and it's stressful enough. I need to be like removed from it. I don't need to know about other people's success because it can affect me in a negative way. So I'm like, I don't want to be involved in it personally. That's just my own.
I see what
anxieties
you mean.
That just make me feel happy.
Yeah, yeah. Comparison is the thief of all joy.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like there's a sense of that. So, and just watching people's comedy is just like it's like but how do they think of that? That's funnier than me. Or like, my jokes aren't as good as it. It's like, all right, what are we doing here? I don't have to see your shit. You know? So I don't really watch anything.
Even live.
Live. I mean, sometimes I don't really. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I'll be like waiting to go on, and someone will be like on stage performing, and like I'll be like listening, but like I have no idea what they're saying.
Yeah,
I'm like so in my own head. I'm so numb to stand up. It'll just be like, yeah, that guy's talking, and like they're doing okay, and I don't know what's. I'm like not even thinking about. Like, wow, what's that joke? I'm like,
so you
I don't
won't
know.
Riff
I know.
On something. That's
sometimes I will. I mean, yeah, sometimes I will, but I'm pretty like don't love to watch it at this point.
Yeah.
But damn, anyways, dude. With just how
it's kind of sad.
I mean, it's again, but you put one of like the greats. I'll watch like the greats. Sebastian, of course. Yeah, Segura, or like if I'll watch Fahim do a set, I would love to. Yeah. But just especially just online, I'm not watching any of it. But I still love stand up. It's just like I don't want to watch people's online shit. That's just the last thing I want to do. When I'm like in the comfort of my own home, like watch someone else's like stand up clips, it's like the last thing I want to consume.
Right. It is so saturated right now.
Oh my God. It's like I don't want to see any of it.
Bro, the posts that some people sponsor their jokes, I'm just like, just put it out there. If it's good, it'll go well. If it doesn't, it's your feedback. It's like when it's like almost like when you bomb. It's the same. I see it as the same feedback. Mm-hmm. You get the rewards from, I don't know if you believe in God, the universe. If you're doing the right stuff, you're going to get some hints that, hey, this is right. Keep doing it.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
But in terms of like crowd work and like how I guess I got good at it is just, it was just reps. It was just doing it a bunch. I don't think there's any other. There was no other tool I don't think I used. I think it's just, I think you have a sense. I think you need a sense of just, what's the word? Like being social.
Sure.
Like a just good sense of how to talk to people. Some people are just not good at that. And they're like socially awkward.
Yeah.
I've never been one of those dudes. Like I can kind of hold a conversation with everybody. I think that's like a really important part. And I think it was just time and reps. Just being comfortable and being prepared for certain moments that you've heard before. Or just know how to handle a bad response. And just the whole, I don't know. It's just being really comfortable. I think it's just time, bro.
Yeah.
I think that's all it is really.
Yeah. I agree. And to piggyback on that, for me, is like staying present.
Yeah.
When I'm fully present, like shit just comes to you.
I know.
From the source, whatever, dude, whatever, or your subconscious, whatever that is, it's like, whoa, say that.
And
a lot of times if you just sit and like you're present, like it just comes to you. You know what I mean?
And it's two things. Number one, it's funny. Sometimes I'll look back at stuff or I'll be editing a clip and be like, huh? How did I even get there?
How did
I even think? How did that go in? And how did it, like, that's crazy. But I remember I did have this. It's fun though.
Reverse too. Sometimes I'll be watching. I'll be like, oh, and I'll think of even more. And I think that is actually helping me too. If I'm like editing, I go, oh, I could have gone this way with it this way.
Hindsight, bro. My hindsight sets are crazy. Bro, hindsight, I'm crushing hindsight. Oh my God. I'm one of the best comics. I'm fucking murdering in hindsight.
Yeah, yeah. Where's my special, dude?
Bro, killing in hindsight. Sometimes with the idea of things popping in your head, it is so fun because sometimes you'll get something. And like I had this one I did this weekend in Royal Oak, Michigan, I was just at, and I had this thing where someone said something, got a crazy reaction, or someone said something like, they were like, oh, I got a pregnant after 2 months with twins or something.
Holy shit.
And people like were like, oh, and I already thought of the line that I was going to say after. And I was like, oh, this is like a crazy line. But I got to almost wait till they were done freaking out about what they said. Yeah. And it was such a fun, kind of powerful thing. Cause I was just, I was like, the gun was like loaded and I was just waiting until they were done to be like, watch this.
Yeah.
But, and then I said it and it got a great response, but it's just, that's such a beautiful, I was like ready to not be like, what am I going to say next? Yeah. I was just like, no, once you guys are done, like watch this.
And when you were younger, maybe you wouldn't have waited the proper timing of when they were done freaking out. You would have tried to be like, this is so much better.
Or like trying to talk over them. Like, I got to get this out.
Yeah.
Just being able to sit back in the pocket and just be like, yeah, watch this. Oh, dude, that shit's, that's everything. That's like those moments, bro.
Yeah,
dude. That's what we do it for.
Oh, dude, being in the pocket and just fucking crushing. It's one of the best feelings on the planet, man.
It's so fun. I'll show you what I'm talking about after.
Yeah,
it's
a specific thing. I looked up, saw you're from the Bay Area.
Yeah, dude.
What was that like growing up in the Bay? You say hella a lot.
I do say hella
a lot. I know. I see on your bio, hella stand clip.
Swipe. I take pride in hella because it's like where I'm from.
Yeah, yeah.
Growing up in the Bay. I mean, I grew up in like the East Bay, this town called Orinda, which is about 10 minutes from like Berkeley, Oakland area. Okay. But it's like a quiet suburbs. It could have been anywhere.
Pretty liberal if it's by Berkeley. Yep,
pretty, fairly liberal, a little more upper class. I was like middle class. Good, a lot of good like culture, because like my dad would take me to like San Francisco a lot, so I would grow up like going to what we called the city.
Yeah.
That's a lot of good culture, man. So it's like he took me to good restaurants and film festivals,
many good restaurants there.
Yeah, it was great. I got like a lot of good culture, I think, and but it was nice to also just grow up in like a quiet suburb that could have been anywhere.
Yeah,
you know. So it was great.
Is that where you started stand up?
Nope. I did my first year because I went to film school in Chicago.
Okay.
And
it's a great place to do stand up, I've heard.
Yeah. I did my first year there. So my senior year of college is when I did my first year. And then after I was done with that year, I was like, I'm out of here. I don't want to live in the Midwest. Like,
and what were you studying?
Film.
Film.
Like acting? Cinema production.
Oh, production.
Production. Yeah. I mean, which also taught me that I don't want to work in production.
Yeah.
Cause it's just like the least forgiving, just brutal work. That's like not as glamorous as you think, you know, especially when you're starting at the ground floor. It's just like the like crazy hours and just the waiting away from around. The art
too. It's like,
it's tough.
I'm not to say there's no art to producing, but like, especially in the beginning, you're just like straight up fucking a hand, dude.
Yep. I just would rather like be an actor. I'd rather just like, I don't, production just wasn't super interesting. Do you do acting? Yeah, I do. And I would like to do more. Started to get kind of bigger auditions now.
You striking? Are you SAG?
Yeah, bro. Strike so hard, man. Fucking power to the people. You know what I mean? I've never striked so hard in my life, dude.
I'm SAG. I owe him like $700.
Really?
Yeah.
For what?
I had a big commercial that popped off. So that they just kept, bro, USAA, this like 30-second clip of me. And then they would come back. They'd be like, hey, we want to use it in a different thing. Shout out to USAA because they have.
Shout out, dude.
Bro, during the pandemic, they came out of nowhere and was like, yo, we want to do. And since I had already worked it, I was getting that plus the pandemic money. I was just. Chilling, let's go.
That's
dude.
The best, dude. That's why you're in a condo in the hood. Condo in the hood. But yeah, I would like to do more acting. It's something that I have a lot of confidence in. I'm just kind of, I went the route of let me just work on stand-up.
Yeah.
And then I'll get acting opportunities through that, which has happened. Because now like the manager that I have is able to get me more acting opportunities.
Yeah, I saw stand-up wiser with WME.
Yeah,
which
dude.
Is huge.
Crazy.
One of the biggest.
And that was some shit that was like a specific dream come true.
Really?
That was exactly what I wanted. I wanted to be with WME. It was because back in the...
That's so
back
cool,
in
man.
The,
congrats.
Thanks, man. Back in the early day, it was like I knew there was a specific agent at WME that I wanted to be with who I knew.
Ari Gold. Kind
of, yeah, for sure. Just Jeremy Piven, actually. Just him as a person, actually. Just he just can advise me on stuff with wearing sunglasses. And so it was just like, it was this full circle moment where it was like the fact that I ended up signing with them because they kind of were like, we don't really have, because I had reached out to them before and they were kind of like, we don't really have the time. Like, essentially, like, not yet. Like, you're just not ready. And I was like, okay, watch this. And then that's when I put the tour together.
Yeah.
And then I did one. And they were right for not bringing me on.
Right.
Because it was like, time. I had no value. Or it was a mystery. It was like, right. Well, you have followers, but what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then when I put the tour together and sold all these tickets, it was like, I did one tour date and then I got hit up by an agent at WME.
Wow.
It was just like that.
Was it the same one that you had hit up?
No, but we're still cool. And I saw him when I was in New York. So it's all good. So I think he's pumped.
That's cool.
And
man.
So it was a very like, that's like a full circle, never forget type of moment when not only like just wanting to be with them and then working so I can get, it's like,
yeah,
like, oh, you're not ready for me. Okay, that's fine. Watch this. Yeah, like, yeah. And then I became valuable and they were like, now you're good. So that was so fulfilling. And I'll just never forget just getting, I mean, this is such like a dorky inside baseball thing, but just getting the first like contract with my name on it that says like, has like the WME letterhead was like, I'll never forget that for the rest of my life.
Yeah, of course, man. That's a huge
core memories that's, it's like, that's what we do it for. And it's like, you need to relish in those moments.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? It's too hard. You took yourself to a nice dinner and celebrated.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'll just never forget it. Good. It was at Zany's Nashville. That was the first offer I got through them.
Really?
So, yeah.
So was the agent in the audience or he just had seen your clip?
She actually just hit me up. Yeah. She had just DM'd me and just had been like, I think she'd been following me for a little while. Like,
yeah.
I think they track people. I think they're like, have their eye on people. And I think just once they saw that I was selling tickets, that's what matters.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all that matters.
They see the money signs.
Are you valuable? And what was interesting about me is that I was selling tickets. And it was not, there was no comedy club draw, meaning these weren't people coming to the shows that happened to go to the comedy club.
It's
these are people
you.
Only who want to see me. Like there's 330 people in Denver who are like, I want to see him.
Yeah.
And that's it. There's no other, oh, let's go to this random theater.
Yeah. Nope.
And so it's like when you combine that with a natural comedy club draw, it could be something really special, you know? Because people just can't go, like my weekend when I was in Royal Oak, that went really well for me because it was a combination of a lot of people who wanted to see me and a bunch of people who just go to the comedy club.
Yeah.
So now it was just this like, oh, wow, there's a lot of tickets because just these both of these things.
Hell
so,
yeah, dude.
So.
And to know where these people are, do you put that question in your, hey, where do you want to see me perform? Does that work really well?
Oh, it's how I've planned everything. Yeah,
okay.
Sure. Well, because I was working on it for so long with the email list thing with like the, people put their cities and stuff. That's how I was able to gauge where to do my tour.
I need to add that.
That's all it was. I mean, that was huge.
Yeah.
That's still like a super helpful, relevant thing that I'm consistently updating and working on. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I have an email list, but it's mostly LA. And then, I got to put out the word cause I'm in like 16K almost seven, like 16 and a half. And it's like, man, such a grind, dude.
Yeah, dude. It's fucking hard.
I've had multiple ones get over a million and like one's almost at 3 million.
Yeah.
It's still going, but it's just like, you would think that would just, but it's
not anymore.
No.
It's changed.
You think it used to?
Yeah, I think it's harder to get a following now
as
it used to be. Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
because you're getting the views, you're getting the likes. So I wonder what.
I think it's all, again, it's all out of our control. It's the inner workings of the algorithm and stuff. I think it's harder to get a following nowadays for sure.
Yeah.
Especially on apps like TikTok. I don't know what's going on over
TikTok's
there.
TikTok's crazy, no dude. Idea. My stuff, I mean, every once in a while, and then like back to like 2,000 or 3,000 of views. I'm like, what the fuck?
No idea.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm almost 30K there. And it's like, I don't know. I don't get it either.
I don't think we'll ever will. I think you just keep putting shit out.
Keep
all
putting it is.
Out. That's all it is, dude.
It really is.
That's all it is.
I have dating life on here.
Okay. You have dating life.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about?
Well,
hit me.
Yeah, you have a girlfriend. It's pretty serious. You guys have been dating.
Do a girlfriend.
About
3 years.
That's a long
about
time.
3 years now. Yeah. So September, I think it'll be 3 years.
And, hell yeah.
Yeah, dude. I'm locked up.
She's the one.
I think so. Pretty sure. I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine being with anybody better.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's you know, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't hard at times being a comedian, traveling as much as I do, having a relationship. That's just an inherent sacrifice.
Yeah.
But she's fucking, there's no one else I'd rather be with. So I'm very, very happy. Very lucky.
Good for you, man.
So, yeah, dude.
I'm also in a very happy,
healthy how long have you been with your girlfriend now?
A little over a year.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and like the happiest, most fun, easiest relationship I've ever been in.
Love just it, dude.
Hands down.
That's great.
This is it for me, yeah.
I love it, dude. She doesn't live here, does she?
No. Okay. She has her own spot, but she stays here probably like 3 or 4 nights a week.
For sure. We don't live together either, and I'm not a big rushing into moving in together type of dude. Granted, I kind of had a not great experience the first time I did it.
Yeah.
But
oh no, what happened?
But, it was a kind of a toxic relationship. That wasn't a good fit, and I just the moving in together and kept escalating, and it was just like all of a sudden you felt more tied to the person because you live together, so it feels like you're married now.
Yeah.
So it was a little messy. So I learned a lot from it. So it was a great experience, but I think I'm just waiting. Especially, dude, if you're with like the one, in my head also it's like, well, let's not rush into this because like there's a chance we could live together for the rest of our lives.
That's true.
Part of me is like, bro, let me like just do my own weird solo thing for as long as I can because there's one day where I won't be able to do that.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's almost like not moving into the other, not out of lack of love or confidence. It's
right.
Out of just like, bro, like this, like enjoy the independence for a little while longer.
For sure.
I don't know. But I'm also a super independent type of dude, though.
Yeah.
Where I love being alone. Do, so.
Yeah. I value my alone time. And I get the most done when I'm alone, of course. Like,
you need it, dude.
As much as like I love being around my girlfriend, I do get less work done. Even if she's here and I plan to work on work, it's just such an easy, fun distraction to be like, hey, what's going on in here?
For sure. Is that how you enter rooms?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey. Hey. Like,
I have different voices I use. Oh, yeah.
It's Bryce, me, Boris. I'm in a Zoom meeting. Get the fuck out of the room.
Okay. See you later. I guess I'll put my dick away. Fine. I have one of my favorite things on here. I have the douchebag daily double.
Love it.
And what that is, it's tell us a time that you were the douchiest you've ever been that you're comfortable sharing, and then you tell us a time that somebody was the douchiest to you. And this can be whatever you're comfortable with. Also, you're a super nice guy, but don't make it look like it's that hard to think of something douchey.
Dude, I'm sure there's plenty, but it is trying to think about it. It's hard.
Yeah. And we can always come back to it if you feel like.
Yeah. Well, let me think. I don't know. I mean, I worry sometimes. I smoke a lot of weed, so I'm like.
Still? Really?
Yeah. Just at night.
It doesn't.
When everything's done. Yeah. I can't be like fucked up just rolling around town. Some people can.
It fucks me up. Yeah. Especially my productivity.
That's why I do it when everything's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So I wonder sometimes it kind of fucks up my memory where it's hard to. Sometimes people will say shit. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I had no idea.
It definitely fucks with your memory. Dude, it's like proven scientifically.
I'm trying to. Yeah. Fuck. I think I'm trying to think like the douchier moments. I think what's hard is that I have this weird thing where I will very, very, very rarely do like the wrong thing, like something you're not supposed to do, like ever. Like I've been.
That's normal, right?
Not really. People do weird, dumb shit all the time. They don't think about consequences. They're like, oh, let me just do this, or like, fuck it. Right. I'm always like, I have to do the right thing because I think like karma is a big thing. So it's like you have to just. So there's not a lot of times where I've done some like real dumb shit,
right?
Because I'm like, oh, but if I do this, it could come back to me in some way. Man. So there's not a ton of douchey things that I've done, truthfully.
Yeah.
I'm sure I ask other people who have been around me. I mean, one thing is, I mean, I did get like thrown out of a bar in college because I tried to steal alcohol from them. So that's pretty good. That's a good one, right?
That's a good one. Yeah.
I was drunk with a buddy, and I don't really party much anymore. I really don't. But in college, I went like as hard as you would typically go.
Right.
Which is good. I think you should.
Typical American college experience.
Yeah, dude. Just a fucking red-blooded American right here.
Well, because we party harder than a lot of countries.
Really?
I've learned,
I feel like you go to somewhere like Germany and they just go crazy, though. And you're like, oh, I thought I party.
But they go crazy with beer. And like my roommate's from Spain and they drink almost every day, but it's more in moderation.
Yeah, they look like a little bit of wine with dinner or something.
Yeah, like even... in Ibiza, granted, I didn't go to the party area too many times. Like, people aren't just like blacked out like you see if you go to like Sixth Street in Austin.
Yeah,
or, like,
okay. That makes
some
sense.
Some of these places.
They're just more adult about it, basically.
Yeah, and a lot of them have been drinking since they were like 12 or 13.
That's how it should be. Cut to be on court. No, that's not what I meant. I didn't mean to drink it since you were 13.
Drink it, pussy. It's my son. He drinks Coors with me.
I think that was probably one of the douchier because we got thrown out like in like a cartoonish way. They like took us by our like our collars and like dragged us through the bar, and we're like recruiting all the biggest dudes to like beat us up, and they like threw us out of the bar. And they thought we were like, because we went downstairs. Basically, we were looking for a bathroom and went downstairs. And we're like, what's down here? This door is open, and it was like their entire alcohol stash.
Oh wow!
And we're like, ooh, wouldn't it be funny if we like pools? Just took a bottle? And we were it was Chicago during the winter, so we always had big jackets. So we'd like, oh, let's slide one in our jacket, and we turn around, and the dude's just watching us.
Oh no!
Like, you guys done?
Oh no!
Let's go upstairs. And we're like, this isn't the bathroom.
And you put it. Did he took all the booze back?
Oh, for sure. I think it was like one bottle because we weren't like reckless. We weren't like, how many can we fit in our? It was like, let's take. What a great story.
Walking out like the Michelin.
Yeah, it's no like a Christmas story with all the sweaters. Like, no, it wasn't like that. It was just like
you're on your buddy's shoulders for no reason.
Yeah, you guys were a lot less tall when you walked in here. Was that the big coat, huh?
It's like a Megatron alcohol fucking stuffed animal.
No, it was like not. It was more for the story. Like, let's see, could we get away with one bot? You know, and then they were like really, they were threatening to like beat us up, to like put us in the hospital. Jesus. They were like, they took it like way too seriously.
The owners?
Yeah. Or just whoever were there, and they were like pushing us against a car, like threatening us and shit. We were like, okay, we're just fucking around, bro. Look at who we are. Like, what do you think we're gonna, they were like, who do you work? They were like,
your size now?
Yeah, if not smaller. And so they were like, I swear they were like, who do you work for? Like, this is a James Bond movie. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking? We're like two dumb college kids. Like, read the room, Boris.
Yeah.
It's a callback.
Nice.
And it was just a weird, and then we eventually got away. They took our, and they, you know what's crazy? They let us in with our real IDs at the time. We were like 19, 20. So like, they fucked up.
Oh.
It was weird because it's like, and they
kept, on them.
They kept our IDs as like punishment. And I'm like, bro, those are our real IDs. Like, this is worse for you than it is for me. Ended up going back and then it's crazy. I got hit up by the bar's manager on Facebook. And was like, hey man, heard about what happened. Come back to like the bar. You can grab your ID. And you know, just like,
that's cool. And I thought it was like post after you're like internet famous, and they're like, "Yo, dude, we're sorry."
No. This was way no. I was just a little pipsqueak in Chicago, getting beat up by grown men. But then I went back, and they like were super cool. One of the bouncers that was not, he was like icing me out the whole time, like fuck this little kid. And then the manager was dope as fuck. We all did like a tequila shot. I got my ID back and left.
That's cool.
But it was a little bit like, are we walking into an ambush? Like,
right?
Because my buddy was like, "I'm not going." Fuck off. I'm going to go back to the gun. Are you crazy? Like, and I was like, I'm going to go. It was fun. It was a cool little thing.
Did you get your buddy's ID here? They wouldn't give it to
you.
No,
dude. Even if I was like, nah, that's his fault. Keep it.
Yeah.
Fuck him, dude. He want to come with me. He don't want to face you like a man.
Yeah.
No way, dude. I got my ID back and it was fine.
That's funny.
So I think that was one of my more douchey moments. Not a lot of them, dude.
That's great, dude. Yeah. You are a very kind person and one of the nicer guys in comedy.
Oh, well, that's nice. Thanks, man. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, what are we doing? What are we gonna fight? Like, who cares? Like, don't, people are so weird. I'm like, I don't care. Like, it's fine, dude. I'm trying to think of the second question of like.
I also one of the other nice guys in comedy that doesn't appear nice, Anthony Jeselnik.
Nice dude.
I reached out to him to do the podcast. I was like, yo, it's called Douchebags Anonymous. I think you'd be a great guest because on the outside you might look like a douche, but you're really a nice guy. He writes back, no fucking way, Bryson. Period. But good luck.
Hilarious.
I was dying. Bro, that's I fired really back. Funny. I go, season two it is. See you in the fall.
Nice. That's really funny. That's a great response.
Yeah, right?
He is like a surprisingly good dude. Like, but with a little bit of a,
yeah,
whatever that is. Like a little.
Check yourself.
Like, yeah, check yourself. Like a little, he's not afraid to check you. And I like that. I chopped it up kind of with him with like for like one time. And I was really, it's like cool. He's like a really good, just like a cool, nice guy. I don't know. You didn't expect that from certain people. You just don't know what people are going to be like.
Second part, one of my favorites. What was the douchiest thing that's happened to you?
Man, I mean, that's such a good one. That's such a good one. I'm trying to really think about it. Because I have one other one from like college. But douchier to me.
You can feel free to throw an extra douche in there too. Where you were douchey.
Oh, no. I mean, someone did something to
the
me.
The two times you were ever douchey.
Yeah, it's not a lot, honestly. I mean, I don't know. Again, bro, someone else may have something else to say about that.
I have such a list.
I had, you know what, here's kind of a good one.
Just because, like, I have values now, but, like, it was from reading self-improvement books. Like, I was a huge, just, like, didn't believe it, just a douchebag.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, but did you do things where you're like, I know this is the wrong thing to do, but I'm going to do it anyways?
Like, I never thought ahead of the consequences. No,
right.
I was like the fucking one marshmallow kid. If they did the studies, you know, like the
is it you wait and you get more? And you're like, fuck out of here.
Fuck.
It's a marshmallow right here, bro. What are you
pissed
nuts?
In the corner? Yeah. Now I feel like I have delayed gratification and like can think ahead. I also think it was part of my ADHD because impulsivity is ADHD and
sure.
I was prescribed these meds and like definitely had it.
Sure.
And part of it was I didn't think of the consequences and I would just do it for what I thought was going to be the laugh a lot of times or the story, like you said, and like didn't think about who I was hurting. And
See, I haven't had a lot of that. I got it. Yeah. I always think about that.
Good,
I'm too like worried about other people and their feelings. So I'm very like empathetic, like to a fault to
good,
where
dude.
It's like, I don't know. I just never...
Sounds like your parents passed that.
Yeah,
down.
They raised me pretty fucking well.
Yeah.
They did a good job.
Granted, my parents did the best they could, but they weren't taught a lot of these things.
Yeah.
So it's like a generational thing.
It's all about how they were raised too. It's like it's just so much that goes into it. Here's a good one that someone's douchey to me. It was on this tour. Had some weird interactions with fans, obviously.
Huh.
Just strange. Always people are just strange.
Yeah.
People are strange. And there's a lot of them. Certain you're gonna deal with some weird people. I remember so I was in Denver and was doing the meet and greet.
Love Denver, by the way. Denver's I've never done comedy there, but it's such a cool city.
It's great. So one of my favorite cities for sure. Most, I think it's most sunshine of anywhere in the country.
By really,
the
way. More than here.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Like statistically,
yeah,
great place. Huh. And terrifying to fly into or out of. By the way. Terrifying
because the conspiracy or just because of the mountains?
No, because the mountains.
Do we, you know about the airport conspiracy?
I've heard
conspiracy?
About the conspiracy. Yeah. Yes, I've heard about that. Crazy. That, it is that flights in and out of Denver fucking suck, and I'm sure people will agree with me on that. Okay. It's so scary.
It would be funny if this was where we found out you're just some huge tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, this is where I finally let it out. Give me another water. Let's let it fly.
I got another hour.
Canceling all my plans for the day. So I was in Denver doing the meet and greet, and I was doing pictures and stuff, and I had people were still coming out, and I was taking pictures of people, and I was like this,
yeah,
like arm around two people, and someone's like about to take a picture. I'm like this, and some guy walks up, and he was like, "Oh man, like great show," and goes to fist bump me, and I was like, "Oh, like 1 second, like I can't."
Yeah,
we're like
in the middle
of a photo.
It's like interrupting
a
conversation.
So like, what am I gonna be like? Thanks, man. Like you're great. Give me a second. So it was just like this, and he proceeded to cartoonishly. Go up to my chest and go ba 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 ba.
What?
With like 8 punches, not crazy hard enough to hurt, and then he just walked away. And I'm still just like this.
Oh, that's on him.
And I'm like, okay, thanks for coming. And then they walk away. I'm like, what the fuck was that guy? What a crazy thing to do to someone. Like just went up and street fighter just like da 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 da, like as if that's a normal thing to do.
No, he
was. Dude, it was I couldn't believe, and I was vocal about it. I was like, when people were kind of, well, I was like, yo, that guy was an asshole, huh?
What did you say to him when he was doing it?
He just left.
Like, what the fuck are you doing?
No, because, well, it was so crazy because like I never expected it. Motherfucker's quick too. I mean, dude was like that. Like, okay, bye. So weird. Never didn't like hang back to be like, sorry man, I freaked out, I got nervous, my bad dude, can we take a picture? He just left, beat the shit out of me, left, never saw him again. Everyone was like, what the fuck? Almost I was the only one who was like, hey, did anyone else see that? That was so weird.
That's crazy.
So that was a pretty douchey moment that someone else did.
Yeah,
the lack of awareness is bananas.
It really is, man. I notice the more I live, the more I notice a lot of people are just unaware of what they're doing, how it's impacting, and myself included. Yeah. Sometimes if I'm just like,
yeah, me too.
Yeah,
for sure. Like I said, I'm doing all this, like, you know, speaking how highly of myself. I never do the wrong thing. Bro, talk to my girlfriend. She can probably give you a list of 50 things.
Yeah, but like a weird social interaction isn't a depiction of your values or who you are as a person. Nah. That's just like it happens. It's part of life. And yeah.
I just wonder if that guy thinks about that moment. It's like, man, remember when I went to saw Will Burkhart and I just beat him up after? Like, either goes, that was hilarious. Or like, man, I hope he like never remembers that. Like, I hope to make it up to him. Weird.
We all have those moments where you think, fuck, is that person still thinking about that? Why did I do that?
All the time.
Yeah.
Daily.
Yeah.
I think about that all the time, dude.
Oh, yeah. I have those every time I leave the comedy club. Why did I fuck it? Why did I say that?
That's why I'm like, sometimes I don't want to talk to too many people because I'll fuck up somehow. I'll say some shit. I'm like, what the fuck did I say? Damn it. Yeah. Like walking back to my car, like, idiot, stupid.
Yeah. But the first time you try to riff with seasoned comics and they all just kind of look at you and they continue their conversation.
Yep. I mean, dude, last night I did a show with Neil Brennan and it was like literally like me, Neil, and like Kevin Christie in a room.
Oh,
and
nice.
I'm like, I ain't saying shit. What am I going to be like? All right. I'm just going to sit there.
Yeah.
It's not worth. Some people are really good about like, oh man, but you're like really taking control of the moment. Like, oh, but that reminds me of this one time. I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
You guys, if you want to clue me into what you're talking about, cool. I'm just going to sit here and be an unassuming dude.
Yeah.
You know?
That's cool though, man. You get a, like,
safer.
I've sat there, but you'll still be cracking up because they're riffing.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like, God, this is what it's about.
I just would rather people be like, oh, that guy was like quiet and like respectful rather than like, this guy tried to fucking impress us with how funny he was. Fucking guy. Like, I'll just be quiet. That's safer.
That's probably the move, especially in the like, middle or beginning especially, I made the mistake of being like, hey.
It's tough. And people will be like, remember that one guy who was like, look, you're like, oh, yeah, Jesus Christ, man.
And now when I reach out to the podcast, they're like,
no fucking way. No fucking way, dude.
I have on here drugs.
Cool, man.
What's your experience with drugs? Did you ever dabble? You smoke weed. I consider anything from like coffee to a drug to like.
Oh, okay.
Hallucinogenics, have you ever done that stuff?
My drug breakdown is started smoking weed when I was like 14 because where I grew up it was pretty normal. So I haven't really stopped.
I started pretty early too.
Yep. For better or for worse. Who knows how my brain would have worked had I not. But I like it too much to not do it.
Yeah.
I only smoke at night.
Do you feel like it affects your sense of humor at all? Sorry if I cut you off.
Sometimes. I worry about that. But I've done kind of A-B tests where, because sometimes I'll be like, oh, I'm not smoking the night before a big show because I want to be sharper.
I've done that.
But sometimes I'll have moments where I'll be like, oh, but I got high as fuck the night before. And then the next day, I had a great show. So I'm like, I don't think it really matters.
Yeah.
I think sleep is more important.
Yeah.
That's where it fucks me up. Sleep it's like sometimes key. If I'll get high and I, like, my favorite thing to do for real is everything's done and I'll smoke weed and just eat snacks. And that's just my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
It's like such an enjoyable activity for your brain and your, it's like just so, like so
little, like you were so skinny. This is one of your favorite. What do you eat? Carrots, dude?
I try to eat healthy snacks if I can, dude. It's just, that's my favorite. That's my favorite thing. And it's so hard for me to give that up. But I'll take like, I smoke almost every night. I'll probably like, I take like indica's a few nights then. Off. Yeah.
Okay.
Or if like a hybrid to try to not just pass the fuck out on the couch, which I do almost every night.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a thing that it's really hard for me to give up because I love it so much. I look forward to it.
But why do you, I mean, if it's not causing you any impairment or negatively affecting your life, why do you have to give it up?
Yep, that's how I'm thinking about it. I think it's just more like eating late at night. That's not good for me. And also it causes me to stay up later because I'm enjoying the experience so much. So then I'll be like it happened to me when I was in this last trip I did with Louisville and Nashville were the two cities I did. And Louisville, I was like very well rested for and I had a great set. And then Nashville, I was like stayed up too late the night before. And I think it fucked me up a little bit because I didn't love my set. So
of course.
It's just another thing of like, if you're going to get high, but just like give myself like a limit on when to go to fucking bed.
Yeah.
But I love it so much. It's hard to give up. And I mean, if coffee's a drug every day.
Same.
Yeah. Every day.
Cold brew every day.
I have no interest in giving that up.
No.
Can't have caffeine too close to a set though. Know that some people, it helps them. Jittery. It makes me shaky. Yeah. I don't feel as funny. That affects me. So I'd rather just be tired because then you're kind of sillier. Just mushrooms. It's the only thing I've done. I've done mushrooms probably like 8 times maybe.
Have you taken a god dose of mushrooms?
Like the highest dose?
No, like where, you've taken enough to where your ego dissolves and you have like this spiritual realization that like everyone and everything is all part of that same thing.
No.
Okay. So you haven't eaten like an eighth or more of shrooms at a time?
I've had a good amount, but I feel like I could have always taken more.
Yeah.
I always do them with my girlfriend. We were like, what we do is we usually would do like every 3-4 months.
Okay.
We'll book a really nice Airbnb somewhere.
I saw one of them in Joshua Tree with a little mushroom, but I didn't want to out you funny. If you weren't going to say anything.
Yep, for sure. I've consistently been doing them. And it's been great.
One of the best drugs to do. It's natural. It's proven to reduce depression. Mm-hmm. It's proven to help people with PTSD.
Yep.
There's a lot of good things about it.
Well, they're using it for therapy now, which is so cool. That's why I do it every day.
The first episode, so I have a master's in psychology.
Yeah.
And my first episode, I had one of my instructors from Pepperdine when I was getting my master's come on the podcast. And they do therapy, like, with mushrooms.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, now you can go buy it at the store, which is nuts.
Oh, yeah. I have a like, my girlfriend wants to do it, so I got her a chocolate bar for her birthday.
Yep.
I've also had, like, some crazy intense experiences on shrooms.
Let me just say, like, my last experience, I did not like, and it kind of turned me off to it. Yeah. My one criticism with mushrooms, as fun as it is, and it's some of the hardest you'll ever laugh.
Yeah.
It's, like, a specific type of laugh, like a mushroom laugh. Yeah. It's, like, this high-pitched, just, like, you're out of your mind. It's, like, the best time. And, like, almost shitting your pants the whole time, you know? But, man, I got so inward, not in a way that was fun.
Yeah.
I like drugs where I can escape.
Yeah.
Like, weed, to me, it turns my brain off. I'm not, like, thinking about shit. I'm in the moment. I'm watching a movie and I'm like, this cheese dip is delicious.
Bro,
that's where I'm at.
Makes me think of what happens after I die so often that I don't smoke it as much as I
totally
do. I'll
makes
still
sense.
Smoke a handful of times, but like I have existential crises.
Yeah. And I wouldn't like that either because I want to escape my problems.
But
mushrooms was getting me like super inward. I left the experience feeling super anxious and not happy about my career. Even though things are going well, I was still just like, I'm a fucking hack. Like I'm not, this sucks or this city. It's like there's, and I was thinking about like my parents, like, and mortality. I was like, this is not a fun escape. I came into this trip in one place and I'm leaving in a worse place.
Yeah.
That's like the opposite. I'm like, maybe I'll just do Molly next time and just lick the walls.
Molly's a really,
it's like, sounds like a way. Yeah. I'm just afraid of the come down of like the kind of lack of serotonin for the last, for the next 2 days. So
with Molly, if you do pure and you don't do it very often, you're pretty set. That's one of the best feeling drugs of it. And like, I say this, but I haven't done Molly in like, I don't know, probably 6-7 years. Like I don't really fuck with drugs that much. Yeah. I took 10 years off of shrooms. And the last time I did it was like my cousin's bachelor party and I took too much the first day.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah, it's tough, dude. It's the feeling of when it's being digested. That's a tough thing to overcome.
Nauseous.
Like you're like, you were just, it's like shaky. You're nauseous. You're like,
yeah,
you're here so uneasy. You're like, oh fuck. Like that's always our hardest time. And my girl, she gets it way, she goes deep. Like she always goes deep.
Has she had a God dose?
I think so. She's always gets like, cause she's smaller. So we take around the same amount. So she's just like, and I'm like kind of fine.
You've taken them more, I think it does something to your receptors, because there was a guy that had never done them, took way more than me, did not trip at all. I'm tripping balls. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
everything's like doing the kaleidoscope, you know, and like, yeah.
I need like a rebound. I need like a better experience to make up for that, because I'm a little turned off to the process now. Yeah. I'm like, this is not a drug I'm maybe enjoying very much. And same thing. And the time before that I did it, we went to Malibu, sick Airbnb, and we took it super early in the morning before we had to check out, which, by the way, quick gripe about Airbnbs, bro. Hey, check-in's at 4, check-out's at 11. Fuck, what are we to just pay for?
Yeah.
I'm like, it's a bed? Oh, so the sun's down. I don't get to enjoy any of the views, and we need to check immediately out. It's such a ripoff. Yeah. I still will
on
do it.
On shrooms, checking but out.
Yeah, it's a ripoff. So it was like, we were like, okay, do them at what? And it was an in-person check-in, so you got to have like a person like, here's the washer, here's the door. You're like, I got it.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, leave a note, dude.
I can know how to work a Roku.
Yeah.
So we did it super early in the morning, and I had like a really, really bad physical trip. I was like writhing in pain the whole time. I was nauseous. It was like the whole trip was like, should I throw up, and how do I throw up?
Right.
How do I do that?
Yeah.
Turned out I didn't know this. The next day, I had the flu.
Oh fuck.
And I didn't know.
Shrooms on the flu. That's like
with the flu.
It's like a new Dr. Seuss book.
Shrooms on the flu. In blue with the dew.
Made me do a poo-poo.
I did multiple poo-poos. Gnarly, bro. It was like, I was like, is this the worst? It was like one of the worst feelings of my life. I was like, it was miserable, and I didn't know that I was sick. So I was like, for real.
That
like,
sucks.
For
and real. You thought sick. It was the shrooms.
Yeah, dude. Which
shrooms are food poisoning, ultimately. It's like,
I mean, it was my body was like, what are you doing to me? Crazy. I know. But that's the thing about the flu is, if you have a cold, you'll have like a sore throat and you'll be like, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to get sick. With that flu, there's no, you're just comes. Like, oof, why am I, ow. Yeah. Did I work out too hard?
And if you just took the shrooms, it's easy to associate. I will say with your, the thoughts, those are, we all have those kind of thoughts. Yeah. I think the shrooms, you just kind of attach to them, but like identifying that they're not based in any reality is a good thing to do, which you're very able to do in this scenario, because they're not inhibited at all. But
yeah, I know, dude, that's a perfect way to say it, being attached. It was like, once I clinged to an idea, it was, I could not get out of it. I could not get it out of my head. Yeah. It was like, fuck man, I'm not like enjoying this. Like that was like, even, and then the another time where I did it, we went to Big Bear. We always hit all the different locations. And I was, at the time I was doing a podcast with Brent Morin and Jason Collings.
Oh, sick.
And we were doing,
you were on the podcast?
Well, no, I was like just producing their podcast a while. Yeah, for a while,
sick,
I was.
Man.
And they, and Jason had texted in the group, like, when should we record this week? And I purposely left my phone away, because you can't check your phone on mushrooms.
No.
And so I happened to check it first. I wanted to take a picture of something. And so I saw the message, and that message stuck with me for like 3 hours.
Yeah, what should I say? Like, they're going to know I'm on shrooms.
Or not even that. I'll talk to them on mushrooms. But okay. I was just like, I was like, I need to respond to them. Like, he needs to know, like, their lives depend on me in this moment. Like, their schedule, like, everything's on hold because I'm not responding yet. It was, and it like clung. Like, my girl was like, we're on like a tree looking at the mountains, and she was thinking about like aliens and what's out there. And I'm just thinking about Jason Collings the whole time. I'm so worried that he's like mad at me. It was so mad. It was, so I'm like, part of me is like, I almost want to experiment with a different type of drug, because I just had, I don't know, like acid, I think I want to try at some point.
Done it. Done them all, bro.
The shit, the way you said that.
Ayahuasca.
Done it. Ayahuasca, been there.
Yeah, twice. Yoga studio in Santa Monica.
Ayahuasca,
that's like
not
a self-improvement thing.
Yeah,
it's ayahuasca, not like a fun, it's not what you're looking for.
I don't, and I also don't want to be like puking and shitting and like cleansing. I'm like, I don't want that,
bro,
man.
When you come back though, you are the happiest, most grateful, loving person to be back in reality. And like, but it sticks with you. Like, I, because it's
things.
Supposed to be good for PTSD and all these other things. And I, like, had done it. And, like, yeah, it was intense. But, like, you come back just like, I'm going to call my parents.
Yeah. I usually come back like that. Yeah. I always am like, call my parents, go see them more. Yeah. That's actually a reason why I visit home more is because of mushrooms, actually. It's like I see my parents much more now. I
FaceTime my parents every day.
Yep.
I love my parents, man.
Me too, man. I think that's undervalued. And if that's all I gain from mushrooms and all the shitty experiences, it's worth it. It's worth it. Yeah. Super worth it.
Very cool, bro. You said Jason Collins, which leads us perfectly into our next topic because I have violence on here. And he's a very adept martial artist.
Black belt. Yeah.
What's your experience with that? Do you do any martial arts? Were you subjected to bullying as a kid? Like,
zero martial arts.
Okay.
Never been interested. May at some point.
Yeah.
Never dabbled, never done it, never been in a fight.
That's good, bro.
Not a lane I'm interested in my life.
Well, you grew up in a very civilized area. Mm-hmm. I grew up in hillbilly Oklahoma, so we had to throw down
for sure
quite a few times.
It's all about how you grew up, and it was not who I was.
Yeah. Also, I was bullied a lot. So like,
I
do all these things and like now I'm just like, I'm pretty good.
What were you bullied for?
My friends at the time made a gay rumor about me.
Okay.
And,
rumor?
Yeah. 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 This was a rumor. It was. Yeah. Yeah. No. And but I was insecure about the rumor, but like,
for sure. Especially when you're younger
in Oklahoma, bro. So like, I would get in like crazy fights. Whoa. Just because they thought I was gay.
Wow.
Yeah. So I like thankfully found wrestling, which was the best thing. Cause every time these guys throw these haymakers, I would just double leg takedown. Also granted, I got my ass kicked,
sure,
at least half the times, then the Marines, and then just kept doing it. Like, we grappled a lot in there. And then I did Jeet Kune Do for a few years, which is the martial arts Bruce Lee created and developed.
Cool.
Which Jason's also very familiar with and did. Yep. And then now I do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which if you ever do get into a martial arts, that's the one I'd recommend.
Okay.
Because it's the most peaceful. There's no striking. And it's more about like controlling the situation and
like
subduing your opponent.
I like the idea of that being able to handle yourself if some shit pops off.
Yeah.
Like I do kind of like having a little bit of confidence of like, oh, but I could like grab the wrist, twit. Like if I needed to, I could fucking, you know what I mean?
Your idea of how it is.
That's all I've really known.
Break the wrist and walk away.
That's all I want to do. No, but I've just being around Jason for so long, literally being a black belt. I mean, he can choke me out with like my shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
He can just take me and just go, okay. Yep. Just with so easily. So I think having that would be cool. I was never really bullied for anything. I mean, I was always really like the smallest of my friends.
Yeah.
So I think I inherently had to like use humor as like a defense mechanism. Cause I mean, I was like 5 feet tall in high school. So I was like this little guy. And my best friend Ian was like huge. He was like 6 feet.
That's a big
crew guy. So it was like, I always felt really small. I was like the last of my friends to hit puberty. But I was never like bullied, but I definitely was looked at. I was never like cool and like girls didn't like me. So there's a sense of just like, I don't know. It's not bullying, but it was definitely like, I had kind of a weird, didn't have like the, I don't know. I wasn't like a dork, but
damn,
I was definitely
dude.
Just like not.
What a glow up, huh?
I mean, you could say that.
Yeah,
you could say that.
Bro.
You know, you could say that.
Cool, man.
But I did get bullied for 1 year for being Jewish in seventh grade.
Really? You're Jewish?
Mm-hmm.
Did you go on birthright?
Did not. We've talked about this, I think.
Did
we?
I found out I was Jewish in my 20s.
Right.
How old are you?
30.
Go on birthright. You can still go.
Maybe.
I think up until you're 32.
Okay. Not gonna, but maybe.
No?
Yeah.
Why?
I just don't wanna.
Free trip to Israel. How Jewish are you?
Not that Jewish. I just want to, I don't know. I'm not
traveling. Ashkenazi? Have you done the DNA test?
No. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. I know. I mean, I mean, my mom's Jewish. So it's like I'm technically Jewish.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
the
I did
old
some
school Jewish. I'm not that. My biological father's Jewish. So I'm like, but I'm 30% Ashkenazi Jewish.
Okay.
Like, I'm ethnically Jewish. I'm not religiously Jewish.
Yeah, I'm not really religiously Jewish either. I'm just, my mom is Jewish and we grew up doing Hanukkah. And
cool,
that was
man.
Just, and I can do the Hanukkah prayer. And I did Sunday. I went to Sunday school. I never had a bar mitzvah. So
Do
I went
you
to
speak
Sunday
Hebrew?
School. No, dude. I barely speak English. I went to Sunday school for like 3 days. And
okay.
I was, cried every day before I went. This is when I was 20. and they were like, all right, we're not forcing you to do this anymore. And so I just never had a bar mitzvah. So I'm like barely Jewish. But I still take a little bit of pride. I still am like, yeah, I'm Jewish. Like that is what I am.
Yeah, yeah.
But and then going back to why I brought it up, being bullied, it was when South Park was like popping.
Yeah.
And so it was like when people found out
Kyle.
I was like Jewish, it was like crazy. People are like ripping on me like all the time. And I didn't know why. I was like, why are you guys ripping on me for this? It's like, who cares? Like, why is this a thing I'm getting made fun of right now?
Yeah.
And it just, and then what happens?
You didn't watch South Park?
Of course I did. Yeah. So I got it, but it was still, it sucked. It was like all the time, bro. My yearbook was like, have a good summer, you fucking Jew. Like, for real, little kids wrote that in my yearbook.
Oh, shit.
And that's just what it was for a year, and then it was never talked about again. And, like, when you get bullied for something, I don't know if you had this. Well, it's different if you're being bullied for potentially being gay. But yeah. I leaned into it. So then I was, like, super Jewish. I was, like, my fucking AIM screen name was put on your Yarmulke 7 because of that Adam Sandler Hanukkah song or whatever. I was just, like, leaned super into being Jewish because it was I was getting, like, bullied for it.
I think that is the appropriate response. I was insecure about my situation. So, like, I became a douchebag and like a womanizer and like so that's where I went.
Yeah, that makes sense though to be like, oh, you think I'm gay? Watch this. Yeah, watch this. Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. So weird, man.
So weird, bro. And that's affected me, man. I had to go through therapy. I read a lot of self improvement books.
Well, crazy that's good stuff. But that's good though.
Yeah, it's affected me. It's made me. Yeah, I don't take anything for granted. I like where I'm at and who I am.
For sure.
Mortality.
Oh boy.
Religion, mortality.
Okay.
Yeah, not what you thought we'd be talking about.
I
didn't
think
huh?
That was a funny pivot. What do you want to know?
What do you think? What do you think happens? What do you think
when it's all over?
All this is.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Yeah. I don't know. I just want to just be present and enjoy while I'm here.
Same.
I don't know. Yeah. Honestly, anytime I stop, know.
That's when the suffering begins.
Yep.
Presence is the key.
Just being, just being present. And I don't, never been super religious. Wasn't raised. I mean, that's basically how you're raised, you know, that kind of sticks with you. Sure. So I was never super religious, but I'm a very, like, you never know type of dude. So I'm like, whatever. Something out there. Something could be out there. Who am I to say?
Yeah.
Who are any of us to say? So I just am like, something could be out there. And like going back to what we said before, just be a good person.
Yep. Do the right thing. Have some values.
Operate with integrity and just be good and empathetic. Love that, bro. It's like, that's all that matters. That's, you know, that's like the religion that I'm kind of subscribed to.
Yeah.
That kind of.
Those are self-evident principles that you think would be more prevalent in life. But you find that like integrity and honesty and these things are... a rare quality in people.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, I'm sure that, but LA, I mean, you've lived here, you know how it is.
Yeah.
That brings me to our next topic, manifesting. Praying, do you believe in that? Do you do it?
I don't manifest. For some reason, manifesting seems kind of dorky sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't pray. I do. I've gotten a lot more mindful and spiritual over the last few years where I will do like, I'll do yoga every morning.
I do too.
And then
I did yoga with Adrian this morning.
For sure. Bro, she's the queen of that shit. Yeah. Huh? She took over. How do you do yoga without Adrian? You know, what are you just doing yoga? What the fuck are you doing, bro? Slap on YouTube.
At least have Benji in there.
At least, bro. At least. And so I'll do like a little kind of mantra thing that I say within that, like I'll be very grateful for like the moment and my health and shit like that.
Great,
so I'll do that, and then I've recently started and leaning more into like I'll do 5 minutes of like a breathing thing every day.
Yeah, like a Wim Hof or something.
I don't know what the name of the thing is. I just know that it's supposed to be very good for you, and I found myself actually feeling less anxious after doing this, just a 5 minute of just breathing every day.
Yeah.
Kind of like, I guess it's meditating.
Okay.
Bro, meditating so hard to not have thoughts. It's like, it's so hard to just have a thought and be like, all right, now it's gone. It's just, it's hard, but I think it's just like anything, takes practice.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying leaning more into that just because I find this stuff really important.
Yeah. There's different forms of meditation. It actually changes the structure of your brain. I meditate twice a day using transcendental meditation.
Sure.
Great meditation technique where you repeat a mantra in your head. So it's less of like, and your brain will go off track and then you go, oh yeah, my mantra, and you bring it back.
Yeah, for sure. Yep, that's good.
Bro, changed my temper, changed my focus, helps with my ADHD, like has changed my life in a way that I can't even accurately describe.
That's awesome. That's great, dude. I mean, that's all we want. It's just while we're here, it's like just be as mindful and in the moment and happy as possible. It's like, how do you just, what's the...
Yeah.
How do you get there?
Anything else sucks. What about books and self-improvement? Or books? Do you read books? Are you into any self-improvement books?
I've tapped in a little bit. I don't read as much as I can because it's boring.
Yeah.
Why'd
you point at me?
Just because it's like, because I want to make it very clear that that's how I feel about it. And I'm sure you're a big reader, but it's
lame.
Because it's not fun, you know? That's why I don't read that much.
Because it's way. My huge bookshelf.
Yeah, with your fucking Batman ladder.
God damn it.
I mean, this is so many. Have you read all these books?
That side's my side. This side's my roommate's side. Okay. I've read most of those books.
All right. Okay. I've read a few. Look,
but I didn't come with good values like you did. I had to install the
bookcase and line them all up and shit. I had to have a really good Zoom background.
Oh, yeah, bro. You got She Comes First. You got whatever.
Yeah, she does, bro. If you fucking know how to do it.
That is going to be one of the clips right there for sure.
So the only
thing that would have made it better is if you licked your finger afterwards.
Oh yeah, then I'd be fucking douchebag currently.
That's true. Okay.
I've read a few. When I started to kind of try to tap into more spiritual stuff, I was reading more. I read The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, which is a great book.
I want to read that. I'm going to put that on
my
list.
Coming from me, like, I don't like reading. Yeah. And that was like a great book. Okay. So do that one for sure. And then I read like Atomic Habits,
favorite books.
Yep.
Seven Spiritual Laws, Deepak Chopra, loved it.
Atomic Habits, though, it's like I'm super, super, super disciplined and have a crazy work ethic. I got it.
Yeah.
I'll never be lazy, you know? So I'm just, it was like, yeah, I got it. I learned some things, but ever since then, I can't pick reading back up. I'd rather like play music or something, I can play music and I don't. And it's like, I'd rather do that. I'm going to do a thing like that, I'd rather like play my guitar and fuck around with that.
You play guitar.
Yeah. And I just rather do that than like read personally, which I don't do either. So this is a good reminder to myself to fucking be more creative and do more stuff like that.
Well, I mean, as long as you're learning and whatever, it's not as important right now, but later on in life, all the degenerative brain diseases, which is one of the four killers.
Is that noise because of your degenerative brain disease? Or is that you just clearing your degenerative
brain disease? I read books.
So wait, what were you saying though about the brain thing?
Most of it, you can fend it off. A lot of times with reading studies show or learning a new instrument or learning a new super language, that like exhaust your brain are like some of the best things to fend off some of those diseases.
Yep. That's a great point. Yep. Yep. I like it.
Okay. Last stuff here. Cool. What next? And do you have anything to plug?
What next? Just for things kind of like come, like what specifically? Like
what's your aim? Besides you mentioned earlier, the late night show, Comedy Central.
Oh, yeah.
What's next for Will Burkhart?
What's next, bro? Fucking what's not next? I'm kidding. Just the tour is going to go throughout the whole year. I'm doing just like so many cities and it won't really stop because next year there's so many places I haven't been. So I'll still just be touring.
Sick.
And now it's funny because now it's like as fun as it is, now it's like my income. So like I have to do the road now, I have to do it to make money.
You used to have another job.
Not since COVID. Okay. But meaning like that's where I make real money. Like I'm not making money in LA until I have a podcast coming out, but until that's monetized, it's like, I'll make like $100 here, $200 here, but it's like, I have to go to do the road.
LA's expensive.
Which is a great reason. I like that I have to go do it, you know, and I'm so grateful that I'm able to I get to do it and make money doing it. So the touring will continue for a long time, I assume, which is super exciting. And there's so many places that I want to go and I still am. The hope is that I can transition into doing more weekends because right now it's like one-nighters with a few weekends.
Yeah.
For people listening, a one-nighter is just you go to a city just for one show on like a Wednesday or like a Tuesday or a Thursday. That's when you first start headlining. That's what clubs give you to be like, let's see how you can really sell.
You're selling those out, man. Which makes
total sense. The ticket sales are good. Ticket sales are great. I still have a ways to go. So hopefully just transition in more weekends. Yeah. So I have a podcast. It's literally called The Will Burkhart Podcast.
Okay.
It's kind of like a deep dive into comedy of what it's really like to be a comedian. Cause not a lot of people know. It's mostly the glitz and glamour. It's like, but what's it really like?
Yeah.
To me, that's super interesting.
It's like the inside beginning.
Exactly. It's like the inside baseball of kind of comedy. And I also will have my girlfriend on to talk about, she's a therapist.
Oh, cool.
So to talk about mental health stuff and just kind of, obviously it's like comedian and a therapist. It's just a fun dynamic to me.
Yeah.
That show should be out by then. So just go to my Instagram or YouTube or whatever to go check it out. Hopefully it'll be some sort of recorded stand-up set, whether that be a late night, whether that be on Netflix, Comedy Central, one of those things. That'd be great. And then, acting at some point, whatever makes sense for me at the time, would like to do more of that. So that's what's next. If you're listening to this, want to come see me live, come see me live.
Hell yeah.
And don't punch me in the chest repeatedly.
Yeah, dude. Well, fucking thanks for doing the pod, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. This was fun.